We're live, babes.
We're live, babes. We're back.
Absolutely,
at it again.
Babes.
Absolutely. Oh my God. Are we just going to start all of our episodes this way now?
Absolutely, babes.
It's your girl. It's your girl, Julie.
And it's Kat.
And you are now tuning into
Miss Murder. Cue the music.
Wow.
We're so talented.
Honestly, if we have any UK listeners,
I'm so sorry.
I feel like don't leave us.
Please don't.
I'm sorry if we've offended you.
Just the absolutely babes has taken over American TikTok.
It literally has.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And just like all those TikToks that are like that person that speaks in a British accent unironically. And I'm like, why is that us?
That's literally us. Okay, so there was one time.
Oh my God.
In college, you know, we would do like our midnight Walmart grocery runs, the little things.
We had so much fun.
Oh, so much fun. And our obnoxious asses were walking around speaking with an Australian accent. And this poor guy restocking the sodas, because that's where the chips were. He's like, are y'all really from Australia? And we're like, no, sorry. We're just doing a running gag. I'm so sorry. And he's like, I was going to ask about your culture.
He was like, your accent sounds really good. And I was like, it really doesn't.
It doesn't. We're just obnoxious.
Oh my gosh. We would literally walk around the entire grocery store only talking to each other in either British or Australian accents.
Yeah, and then sometimes when I really drink, I will start speaking in an Irish accent. I convinced someone I was from Dublin, and I just, like, named random bridges.
Catherine drunk.
Is
the best thing. It's the best thing ever. It is the best thing I've ever witnessed.
She's a rare beauty.
Drunk Irish Catherine. Oh, she's chef's kiss. Everybody should witness it at least once in their lifetime.
Maybe we should. Okay, because you know how we were going to make the... So, I love Drunk History. I'm so sad that they're canceling it because it's the fucking...
AJR?
Yeah, they're canceling it. Or, like, it's, like, officially ending. I know, I'm so sad. Like, my dream was to do Drunk History and talk about the Tudor dynasty and, like, start with Henry VIII's badass grandmother and then end it with Elizabeth. Where was I going with this? Oh yeah.
Catherine really loves the Tudor dynasty.
Okay.
If you cannot tell.
Yesterday I did my little treat myself and I actually bought two historical fiction books on the Tudor dynasty. No lie. Hold on, let me get them so I can tell you the titles.
Oh my God. Catherine has like a stack of books on her side table that she hasn't even read yet. And she went and bought two more books. She went to go get her new book. So she doesn't even know I'm dragging her right now.
Oh my God. Okay. Okay. So the first one, book number one, is called Bringing Up the Bodies. And I think it's supposed to be about Anne Boleyn's execution. Yes, I think it's about them making the decision to execute Anne Boleyn. And because it was part of a buy one, get one half off.
I had to indulge.
Yes. And then the other book. So I like her books for entertainment, but I am not a fan of the shows they base her books on, or the shows that are based on her books.
Right.
But Philippa Gregory's The King's Curse, which I just saw Tudor and Young Henry VIII and Margaret Plantagenet's? Yeah. And I grabbed it.
Yes.
I don't even know what it's about.
You.
I just saw.
You don't know this, but I legit just dragged you to all of our listeners while you were going to pick up your books. I was telling them about the stack of books that you have on your nightstand that you haven't even read yet.
Oh, it's but so here you bad. Are. Literally, I'm so, so bad. Okay, because I have the one book, which I've been trying to read, called My Lovely Wife, which is about a couple that, like, they're, oh, yeah, where they, like, try to, like, that's how they bond, by committing murder. And I didn't really know where else to put these books, so I was like, let me put it on top of the book that I'm currently reading, and maybe that way, yeah.
You'll work through it. I'll work through it. You'll get there.
It's taken me, like, 5 years to read it. It's fine.
It's fine. I am only about 60 some pages into The Shining.
Oh, I love The Shining.
But I'm trying. It's because I'm trying to pace myself.
Yes.
Because I feel like the imagery is just so, like, captivating. Yes. I feel like I have to really read it a couple times and, like, really make the image in my head before I move on. So I've just been taking it really slow, but I'm into it.
Yes, I love Stephen King, even though because when we recorded last week, Julie was looking at my bookcase and she was like, so, you've done some.
How's it going?
How's it going? Yeah. Because I literally bought that book our junior.
College.
Yeah, it was like our junior year of college.
Yeah.
And it is still bookmarked with some random receipt from that year.
Honestly, college Julie and Kat were.
What is reading?
We were a mess. We were a mess.
Yeah. We just watched the
shitty.
And now
here we are.
Here we are, recording this mess for everyone to enjoy.
I bet everybody can relate. Because I bet all of our listeners are just as messy as
we are. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, you would not be here anymore. Oh, speaking of our listeners.
Yes.
So, my child, my little, in my fraternity.
Oh, yeah.
Her name is Jaden.
Hi, Jaden.
I love her very much. Hey, Jaden. She's my little ugly. So she had, she drove to Charlotte, or her dad lives near Charlotte. It's like one of like the little towns outside of Charlotte. Mm-hmm. I can't even think of the name right now. Hold on. Let me
Huntersville?
Look back to her message.
It's like one of those towns where people have
Hickory.
I was about to say Huntersville or Hickory. Yeah.
So she was driving to Hickory from Wilmington, and she said that Miss Murder is the only thing that got her through it. And she's thinking of starting her own podcast.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yes, girls, do it. And she's a fan.
Yes. Because I noticed, not to brag, but definitely to brag, after we made our podcast, like, everybody affiliated, like, with our year in college, like, started making their own podcasts.
Which we love.
We
to
love
see
to see
it.
The creativity, y'all.
We love to see the creativity pursue some hobbies that lie outside of your phone and the internet. We love it. Okay. So, this week, I will be taking you into a bit of a different. And into a different vibe, okay?
A different vibe than, like, last week?
A different vibe than anything we've done so far.
Ooh.
So, okay. So originally this week I wanted to cover the probable murder / maybe suicide of Lennon Lacey. Which is a case that is local to North Carolina. It's in Bladenboro, North Carolina. And I literally got so sad.
Is that?
What?
I think that case. Was that case? I'm looking at my crazy wall of cases.
Oh.
I think it's another North Carolina case.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nope. Different case I have on there. It's local too, but different case. Okay. Continue.
So, it's pretty much a modern day lynching.
Oh, shit.
And there's documentary that came out about it, and I like rented it, and I just legit couldn't. I couldn't.
Yeah.
It broke me, and it was just like, I just kept putting it off after just like starting it, because it really had me in all types of emotions. And while I feel it's so important to talk about it, I think I need to be in a different type of headspace where I'm really like prepared to do it.
Because it's a heavy subject.
It's really, really heavy. And so it was not the time, not this week.
We will discuss it. And by that
point, yes. And by that point, I was like, it was like Thursday, Friday. And I was like, okay, so I need something that's a little bit more lighthearted, fun, and easier to research. So I took the easy way out.
That's okay.
I'm a failure.
That's okay. Because sometimes those, cases take a toll on you. Like when I did the Franklin Floyd case, like reading what happened to that 3-year-old, I just was like, oh, okay, I need a minute to just, I had like such a pit in my stomach. So I can imagine what
that so I decided toll is like. To keep it a little light, a little airy. And I decided to actually do the history of vampires in New Orleans, which was something that was suggested to me by my old boss, Chris. He sent me like this cool TikTok kind of.
Oh, we love like TikTok on Miss Murder.
TikTok, y'all already know.
Did you see
the millennial?
Did you see the two TikToks that I posted on our Instagram?
I was going to watch them. I had like had them pulled up, and then for some reason I got distracted. So no.
Oh, that's okay. The first one I think you saw, that was the woman doing the interview with OJ.
Oh, yeah.
And then the second one is about Steve Carell interviews a woman who banned the devil from their town.
From a town.
With government headed, you know, whatever that border is, official government doc. She wasted official government documents to ban Satan.
I love it. The separation of church and state. Who is she? We don't
know.
We
don't
know her.
Because when she ate that hot dog at the barbecue and saw that blinding white light and had a revelation, she had to let the world know. Period. Satan is not allowed in our little town.
Oh,
I don't
God.
Think she would stand for these vampires.
Exactly. Which, you know, hate her, but whatever. So kind of what I'm going to do today is I'm going to take you a little bit about the history of how it's theorized and legendized. I don't know.
It's a legendary tale.
It's a legendary tale about how vampires came to be in Sirius. He just tried to knock over my laptop. Anyway.
He doesn't want you talking about the demons.
He doesn't. He said, I'm
not in his good Christian home.
No, he's the only demon in my life. That's what he's saying.
No room for more, mother.
No room for more. No room for more demons, mother. So a little bit about the history. I'm going to tell you a bit of a crazy legend that's like infamous, and then I'm gonna transition into more modern day. So I know we talked about wanting to do more of like spooky shit.
Yes.
So I figured this was a good place to start because I found it hella interesting.
Yes, and we know I love history.
Yes. So let's get into it.
Yes.
Okay. So first, I'm gonna take you back in time. Back to the 1600s.
That's our time travel noise.
Yeah, that's our TARDIS time travel noise.
Oh, man. I used TARDIS. To love Doctor Who.
Ooh,
the Weeping Angels were my shit.
Bro, we were such nerds.
That was like,
literally.
I remember.
They had us by the throat.
They did. They got us young, too. I remember being in like sixth grade and we were in science class. And for some reason, our teacher turned on Doctor Who and it was the Weeping Angels. And I was here for
it. Bitch.
Loved it.
So specifically, we're going back to New Orleans, Louisiana, which at the time was colonized by France. Okay, so the majority of the settlers in New Orleans were like tradesmen, soldiers, fur traders, and priests. So like there was, did you hear Sirius yawn? He's literally just looking at me like,
mother,
stop, pay the attention. Oh yeah, so you know, these men, they sacrificed so much for their country. They uprooted their lives to steal land from people,
you know.
And they really felt like, you know what? I'm not just going to come here for work. I want to make a full-on life for myself, and that involves getting me a nice little woman.
Ah, yes.
To birth my children.
You know the goal. Those,
you know,
early America settlement goals right there.
Yes.
We're going to die by the time we're 20. We got to live large at 13.
Yes. So because this colony was like primarily settled like for agriculture, it was mostly men. So like there was like a really big imbalance of single men to women. And women, you know, single women would have to pay for their own voyage. And because like the conditions obviously were still so uncertain in this new colony, like women weren't just gonna uproot their lives.
Oh, yeah.
And pay up. Like women didn't even have their own money like that.
True.
So there really weren't any, there weren't really a lot of single women in New Orleans at the time. So the settlers called King Louis the 14th up and they were like,
Louis,
let's get us some bitches Louis. Up in the sea. And King Louis was like, you right. I gotta help y'all out. And also, the English colonies are growing fast as fuck. And we need
you
to
know we
up.
Hate the English. You we know hate we hate the English. English. That is basic history.
Wee wee. So.
Oh, wait, wait.
He just, oh, wee wee. That's my French impersonation. Thank you. Thank
You're
you.
So good.
I'm so talented. I feel lots of manic energy.
I feel it too. I don't know if it's because I tried doing like my readings earlier for deviant uh-huh. behavior, and my God, that's, oh, it's so hard to
dull
read.
Shit.
And
dull
I think
shit.
Now I'm finally getting the energy I was lacking all day. So yes. This will be fun.
Yes. I just had me a little caffeine tea.
Ooh.
And I scrolled through TikTok for like 30 minutes. So, you know, the vibes are back. They're here.
They're back and better than ever.
Yeah. So King Louis, he was like, all right, you're right. We gotta fix this issue. We gotta start bolstering families. We gotta
we're really emphasizing
the birth of children.
The nuclear family is what's gonna
Period.
Destroy the British.
Exactly. Just by mere numbers. Like he didn't care about fucking families. He just wanted
I don't
numbers.
Care about
he
the
wanted
children.
Population. Exactly. So he decided he decided to start up a program called the King's Daughters.
That
or the filles du roi. That's my French pronunciation. Filles du roi.
Oui, oui.
So what this program consisted of is that the French government appointed like certain clergymen or whatever to quote unquote recruit.
Oh, I don't like that. I do not yeah. like that at
they
all.
Were recruiting young women, primarily from the ages of 12 to 25.
Well, I mean,
that
was their age expectancy.
Yeah.
Horrible.
So they were recruiting them, involuntarily, from convents and orphanages.
A convent?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucked.
Yeah, so the whole thing was they had to make sure they were virtuous.
So
virtuous.
let's take the sweet women that want to dedicate their life to God.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they had to be virgins, you know.
Yeah.
They couldn't just be anybody. If they were going to be wifey material for these settlers, they had to be virgins. So they were picking them up from convents and orphanages, and they were sending them to the new colony to be married off to the settlers.
The men.
So King Louis agreed, like, as part of this program, he agreed to pay for their passage and agreed to pay for their dowry, essentially, like a small dowry of like 400.
I don't know. It would be shillings
or whatever the fuck they used back in the day. Francs or whatever the fuck. I don't know money.
We don't know money on this show. We don't know money. We don't know geography. We don't know history, but we just ride with it. And we don't know currency exchange.
We don't fucking know a damn thing. We talk out of our ass. So here we are, and you're listening to it. So
thank you for being a member.
And so it was customary for single women who were to be betrothed to have these things called a dowry chest or like a hook chest.
Fun fact, I actually have my grandmother's dowry chest.
Word?
Yeah. So my mom came in the other night. I guess she was looking for it. I mean, it's big. I mean, you can't see it on my camera, but... Uh-huh. She was like, oh, yeah, that's grandma's dowry chest. Her uncle got it for her.
Pause. Bring it. I would like to see it.
It's,
go get it. Is it large?
You know the thing in the office downstairs where we keep all the records?
Yes.
It's like that.
Oh.
Yeah. It's heavy. I can send you a picture, though.
Send me a picture.
But, yeah, you would basically, like, put in the chest, like, sterling silver, like, everything that's gonna be, you know, part of
that comes with you, right? Yeah. So
I learned that last night, actually.
That's
Well,
look at that. A coinka dink. We love fate.
Look at the universe.
The universe.
Did you manifest that?
I manifested it. I really did. I did that.
I'm so proud of you.
I know. Thanks. I'm a powerful witch. I just made myself cringe really hard. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
So King Louis was he provided the dowry chest, which like contained their belongings as well as like other household like linens and like you said like silvers and things that were supposed to be
homely
for their homely like stuff for their home and for their husband and their new wed life. So these chests were actually shaped like coffins.
I don't know if mine is shaped like a coffin. Yeah.
So it's literally shaped like these like pretty much little compact coffins, and this earned these girls the nickname of the casket girls.
Oh. My grandma a casket girl?
Did she immigrate from France in the 1700s?
No, but so you can't rule out the possibility.
The fact that Catherine had to think about the timeline here, I am concerned.
Time we also don't understand.
Everything's made up.
Well, in the moment, I was trying to process, like, you know, I'm white. We have literally every European country running through our veins. So I had to sit there and think for a second, like, wait, what if my grandma was descended from the original casket girls?
Aren't y'all, like, Irish?
Nah.
No, German? No,
we're Norwegian and German.
Norwegian.
But, like, you know how everything's muddled in there.
Yeah, you're right.
I can't rule it out. I haven't done the Ancestry 23andMe test. Therefore, it is a possibility. Yes. I am a descendant of vampires.
We love it. So, these girls got the nickname of Casket Girls. And initially... King Louis proposed that they would only send about 500 women, but that number actually grew to be about 850 women who were sent to New France in the 1700s. Yeah. So Once these girls got to New Orleans, they were sent to live at the Ursuline Order of Nuns, which is a convent.
Oh, to keep them holy until matrimony. Yeah.
Yes. So that's pretty much where they would be, like, chaperoned until they were married off to a suitable man. And so once these girls arrived, they just spent, like, 6 months on a ship.
Oh, yeah.
Traveling from France to the Americas. And because these were virtuous women, they weren't allowed to be on, like, the top deck of ships. They kept them underground of the ship, like, underneath.
Oh.
So they had legit not seen the sun in, like, 6 months.
So, of course, they're obviously... We're talking vitamin D deficiency. Yeah. They're gonna be pale as fuck.
Yeah. So once the townspeople in New Orleans saw these, like, pale, gaunt, ghostly girls.
And arrive, they're probably super thin, too, because of food and, like,
stuff. And they saw them come in, like, with their little coffin-shaped chests. They were like, oh, fuck. These bitches are either smuggling in vampires from Europe, or they are vampires. And they had evidence. They were like, okay, let's lay down the facts.
Okay, so we're doing, like, witch trial evidence here, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
So they court were is like, in okay, session.
These girls, they step out into the sun, and then their skin starts to redden and blister within minutes of being exposed to the sun.
Okay, but that's literally me.
Like, so does Kat. But that doesn't mean she's a vampire.
We can't rule it out.
We can't rule it out. And also, at this time, tuberculosis.
Oh, consumption.
As we talked about. Consumption.
Consumption, because it consumed your lungs.
It consumed your lungs. It made
cough in blood.
Right. It made them cough blood. So they were like, seems iffy.
Seems a little suspicious.
Yeah. And on top of that, it was, like, found out that once these girls arrived with their chests, that the nuns, like, stored the chests up in the third floor of the convent, which was pretty much, like, this attic space, I guess.
Dark.
Where they stored everything. And that since the girls, like, moved in, all of the windows and doors of the convent all of a sudden were, like, permanently shut during the day.
Ooh.
So they were like, hmm.
Another suspicion.
Yeah, so all in all, you know, these were the rumors of the town folk. And girls were, you know, being married off. And unfortunately, so many of these girls ended up in abusive marriages. And if they couldn't find somebody to be married to, they ended up becoming prostitutes.
Oh.
Yeah, it
was
not good.
Not good. At the time, that was not good.
And so pretty much, like, it started getting so bad, like, the abuse of these girls and, like, how quickly, like, these girls were being put into prostitution that King Louis was like, we're not doing this anymore.
We're not going to tarnish my daughters.
Yeah. He signed another decree that was like, y'all are being sent back to France. Like, the ones that were unwed.
Good for them.
So, yeah. Pretty much.
Good, like, for them. Like, they struck out.
Yeah. So, these girls that were left unwed and unprostituted in the Ursuline convent were sent back to France, pretty much leaving the caskets behind. And that's what people say introduced vampires to New Orleans.
Ooh.
And they said that after the girls returned to France, the nuns, like, went back up to the third floor of the convent to retrieve some of the belongings.
Yeah.
But once they went up there, everything in the chests were gone. The chests were completely empty.
I wonder
they how that happened. Searched. Yeah, they searched the entire area. And nothing. So these items were, like, never recovered. Nobody knows where all these items went. And because the nuns, like, they're hearing the hearsay from the town, so they were like, you know what? What if the townspeople are right? What if these girls aren't human? So rumor has it that the nuns bolted all of the doors and windows shut and even had the Pope himself bless the nails that would be used to lock the doors to the third floor so that nobody could ever access the third floor with those caskets ever again.
Totally reasonable approaches.
Oh, yeah. You know, the 1700s, they were really thinking
they were really through. On it with science at the time. Yeah.
They bless really, the nails.
Bless the nails, period. Holy Father, and be done.
Yeah, so basically since then, vampires became like a really large part of New Orleans lore and culture. And, you know, New Orleans always had that sort of like occult, creepy sort of vibe. And so it's something that kind of always like stuck around. And one particularly infamous legend is that of the Carter brothers.
Ooh, I have not heard of this.
Yeah. This was really interesting to me. I was like shook reading this. So John and Wayne Carter were two very seemingly normal brothers in the 1930s. They lived like in this apartment sort of building on the corner of St. Anne and Royal Street. I don't know where that is.
I've never been. I would like to go.
But I'll send you a picture of the place.
I'll take myself
so that you
there.
Can check it out. Yeah. We'll go. We'll go there one day.
Spooky trip.
So by all accounts, these guys were like pretty much average Joes. They were like 5'6" max, weighed less than 160 pounds. Like they were not big. They were not like huge or scary. Like they were literally just so average.
That
was a skill.
I can't imagine being so average. They must have been so hot on the dating scene.
So hot.
Like
so hot right now. So, yeah, there was nothing unbecoming about them until one day in 1932.
That's the year my grandma was born.
Ooh. The dowry chest. She's descended from vampires. Connections. So on this particular day, a young girl was seen running frantically out from their apartment and down the streets with blood running down her wrist.
Oh no.
So she's clearly screaming for help.
Oh yeah.
And luckily, she's seen by a police officer who was on the street who, you know, stopped her and asked her what was wrong. Like, what's happened? Why are you bleeding?
What's
and
up,
this
girl?
Is what she told the officer. She told the officer that two brothers had tied her up along with several other victims and that they were being held captive in these brothers' apartments so that the brothers could drink their blood. She claimed that the brothers left every morning before daybreak and like didn't really care to secure their knots really well. Like they did, like they didn't really know what they were doing about the knots. I guess they were not Eagle Scouts.
No, they're completely average, bland people. Therefore,
they don't even know how to tie a
knot. Their skill set is not Liam Neeson Taken level.
No, it is not. So she was like, yeah, they didn't tie me down well. So I escaped. And the officer was like, okay.
That's not... I mean, he was, crimes that he's probably used to hearing are, like, drunken brawls, like, you know...
Exactly.
Literally just breaking up fights.
Like, you're talking the tail end of the 1920s, the roaring 20s, like, New Orleans was a hopping place to be. You had jazz. You had
jazz, liquor, the signs everything. Of the devil.
Yeah, so he was like, well, you know, clearly this girl is in some type of distress, so I'm gonna go check it out. So he goes with this girl and realizes very quickly that he needs to call for backup.
Ooh.
because they go into the apartment and they find that everything that this girl described was true.
Oh no, I don't like that. I do not like that.
He found four people inside, tied to chairs. All of them were half dead, with like their wrists slit and wrapped in bandages that were like soaked in blood.
This is like a Madame LaLaurie situation.
Yeah. And then this is like right as you walk into the living room. So as they're looking into the rooms of the apartment, they find dozens of dead bodies.
No.
Completely drained of blood. So,
I mean, could you just, like, they're in an apartment building, right?
They said that the smell.
I was just about to say, the smell? Someone had neighbors or some, like, obviously, it was not the sanitation we had today.
I think they owned the entire building. I want to say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I was about to say, somebody had to notice a smell.
Mm-hmm. I want to say that they owned the entire building. Like, some places that I was reading said that they owned the building, and some people said it was just an apartment. So I don't know if, like, maybe they had a shop downstairs and they just lived upstairs.
Those were common.
Multi-use, yes. You know, little functional spaces.
You just wake up, you go downstairs, you do your little job, be your girl boss, and then you go upstairs and commit your MLM.
And you just drink the blood of your victims.
LuLaRoe's goals.
Yeah, so from what the girl said, you know, that they leave early every morning before daybreak, and that they would come back at nighttime right after it became dark. So the police officer called for backup, and he called like seven other officers there, and they were there like waiting for the brothers to come back. And obviously the brothers hadn't realized that their victims escaped. No one's gonna know.
I mean, who knows how long they were actually like doing it.
Yeah, that's the other thing. We're talking dozens. Yeah, dozens of people. So, legend has it that night when the brothers returned, these average ass Joe ass motherfuckers, that it took all eight officers to hold them down and detain them. Like, some places that I read even said that one of the brothers like completely knocked out two of the officers. That all of a sudden they had like this superhuman strength and it was super hard to detain them.
PCP.
They were definitely on something.
I'm calling it.
Pretty much immediately after they were captured, they confessed to everything. They told the police that every day after they would come back to the house, they would immediately go to whichever victims were still alive and undo the bandages on their wrists and use knives to reopen their wounds and until the blood was like running freely, and they would fill cups with their blood drink until they were satisfied.
Oh, wow.
And then after that, they would just redress the wounds with the same bandages and like left them until doing the same thing the next day until they were dead, pretty much.
I don't want to say it's better than them just, like, going right on in with their mouth.
Yeah. But I mean, at least they were decent and had a...
They were classy with it.
Yeah, and so after confessing to all of this, they told the police that they pretty much begged to be killed.
Oh.
They said that if they were allowed to live, they would have no choice to continue killing because they were vampires and their need for blood was beyond their control. So
I just feel like they were so bland and so average and so unremarkable that they had to do something. And what better something is there than pretending you're a vampire and then committing mass murder?
Yeah. Because they were tried as serial killers.
Oh, okay. That, yeah.
Like, after all that, they were like, listen, you could be crazy. It doesn't matter.
You killed a lot of people. We've got...
You're fucking serial killers. Yeah. We're gonna execute you.
Doesn't matter if you're a vampire, son. You committed serial murder.
Exactly. So they were executed, and then they were buried in, like, this vaulted tomb. And then years later, the vault was opened because they were gonna bury, and like somebody of that was like another family member of theirs.
Oh, okay.
Because
people want to get buried dedicated with their family,
with like their family.
Yeah,
which like if you commit serial murder, like do you really deserve?
Yeah, to I don't
be
know.
Buried in like a nice.
I would want family to be, like if I had a random relative that committed that was a serial killer, I don't think. I would want my body resting side by side in eternity. No. That just doesn't...
That's some bad juju for my spirit.
It doesn't. I'd rather be turned into a tree.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Or like a little diamond. That. You know, diamonds are pretty. Yeah. Not in the ground with a serial killer. That just doesn't sound so appealing.
Yeah. I think if I was their family, I'd be like, yeah, they're voted off the island. They're not.
They're the weakest link. They gotta go.
They are the weakest link. So, yeah. So these tomb workers who were bringing the other body in, they opened the tomb, and they found no trace of John and Wayne in the vault.
Did it say
their bodies had completely disappeared?
Did it say how they were executed? Or did it just say
no?
Oh.
It just said that they were executed. What did they do back in the 1930s?
I mean,
did they still hang
people? Yeah, they were still hanging people. I don't know if it, like, because I don't know if that, like, had to, like, they died, but they weren't really dead, you know?
Right,
like,
right.
A hanging that wasn't done right.
Clearly they weren't, like, burned or anything.
Yeah.
Because
I'm going to guess it was a hanging.
Buried. Probably just a hanging,
yeah.
So it didn't kill their vampire spirit.
No.
So they were gone.
They didn't
They disappeared.
Could you imagine that?
They turned into bats.
Yeah, and they just flew away at the execution. And, like, you would think with all this superstition, like, maybe. I just imagine they're, like, you know, they've convicted these guys and they got to talk about what to do next. I just hope that there was one person on that board that really was convinced they were vampires and was like, guys, hear me out. What if you hang them and then we take them down, we give them a nice necklace of garlic, and then we take a little wooden stake just for safety measures, and the whole board is like, no, that's stupid. No, where'd you go? Oh my God, are you frozen?
She's gone.
Hello?
All right, friends. Well, we lost internet.
It's fine. I don't know where I was going with the whole...
In there.
I know. I don't know where I was trying to go with my little story of a guy in town hall just being absolutely convinced that they had to, like, throw garlic on their bodies and a wooden stake through the heart just for measure. You know, extra measures. But they were like, ah, Jedediah, fuck off. Like, this is not...
Jedediah. Yeah.
You know,
they should have listened to him.
Name.
They really should have listened to him.
They should have listened to little Jedediah.
Because John and Wayne, they oh, blah, blah, blah. Bat flew straight out of there. That was my impression
that's,
of a bat noise.
That
Is
was
that
a very
bats
good
sound
impression.
Like? Thanks.
I think it's like a... Impressions
right.
is one thing we try to be good at, too. Ooh, that was stressful because we thought we lost the audio.
Yeah. Oh, that was bad. That was bad.
That was
but
so
we're
bad.
Back and we're okay. I think we're okay.
I think we're okay.
So yeah, that that particular legend of the Carter brothers is considered, like, in the vampire community to be, like...
canon.
Yeah, canon. Like, their history. So, pretty much, vampire culture is still very vibrant in New Orleans. And New Orleans is actually considered, like, one of the meccas for the vampire community. Like, so many modern-day vampires call New Orleans home. They go, they visit there, they travel there. And yeah, it just is like where vampire history started in the Americas, pretty much.
Ooh.
Yeah, so after I like read all of this, I kind of wanted to see a little bit of the modern, like see what the modern day vampires were like.
Yes, the modern New Orleans vampires.
Yeah, I read a little article and I watched a little History Channel video.
Oh, I love
that was
those.
talking about these modern day vampires, and they both actually focused on the same guy. The documentary I watched and the article I read, it focused on this vampire named Belfazar Ashantison. He goes by Czar.
I'm Czar for short, guys.
Czar for short.
Wasn't Belfazar the name of one of the hellhounds from the Corpsewood Manor case?
Yes, but that was Belfazar. This is Belfazar with an F.
Oh, okay. Trying to be original, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. He's trying to put his little spin on it.
His own little personal zest.
Yes. So, Belfazar, he was one of the founding members of the New Orleans Vampire Association.
Good and for him.
Yes. He is one of the most prominent, like, vampire figures, like, spokespeople of today. And he, like I said, he's, you know, shows that talk about like what vampirism is, like we'll focus on him, like he's very open to talking to people and explaining.
I've probably seen like videos of
him. Yeah, I feel like even when I saw the video of him, I was like, I feel like I've seen this guy somewhere before, like,
yeah, because I know like BBC, they'll do like, they have like a channel dedicated to like the weird and the bizarre, so they have, you know, like people with like disabilities and they're talking about how they go through their life, but then you also have like thruples and then people that want to be vampires. Yeah. And
yeah so Mr. Czar, he defines vampirism as a physiological condition wherein the afflicted person's body either does not make enough of or any at all of the daily essential energies necessary in order to perform daily tasks, which is quite the definition. But yeah, it makes sense because I guess that there's, so the article I read explained that there's like different feeding styles for vampires. Like they don't all just drink blood. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
So like, when I was reading this, all I could think of was the What We Do in the Shadows.
I show. Love, I showed it to Julie. I love so it good. So much. So much. If you've seen the series, please watch the movie that it is based on. It holds, I love how it holds so true to like the movie and the vibes of the movie.
It's comedic excellence. But you know, like they have the one roommate that's like an energy vampire.
I like love him.
He feeds from like draining other people's energies.
It's so funny on the show.
So like that's legit a thing.
Really?
Like these different feeding styles. So the three that they talked about in the article were, of course, like the traditional sanguine, blood drinkers. You got your blood drinkers. So Czar, for example, he is a sanguine vampire. So if he doesn't drink blood on a regular schedule, he feels like completely drained.
Oh, okay.
So you also have tantric vampires, and these vampires feed off the sexual energy of their partners.
I feel like that was also a thing in the movie.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, and they really did their homework.
They did their homework.
I'm impressed.
The last kind of feeding style that they talked about was a pranic vampire, and they derive energy from physical touch. And this can be like platonic affection, or it can be like sexual or like romantic affection. But it can be both platonic or romantic affection. So like the one particular vampire that they talked about said that they preferred platonic affection and that they derived energy from like hugging people.
Oh, well, that's not.
Yeah.
I mean, I still think it's so funny on the show when, like, I don't remember his name, but he's walking around to all the cubicles and he's like, well, you know, see, I was going to buy this one electronic pencil sharpener from Staples for $49.99, but
he, like, but literally then drains your energy to gain energy.
It's so funny.
So, like, with Czar's definition of what vampirism is, it's like, if your body, like, traditionally, the things that are supposed to give you energy don't give you enough energy to perform your daily tasks, like, these other things do, like sex or physical affection. So
Friendship.
So creepy. I thought that was really interesting. I didn't know
that was a thing either.
Yeah. And, like, one way that they explained it was kind of, like, once people, like, started classifying themselves as these different feeding styles, it kind of, like, broke the vampire community into different, like, factions, I guess. Like, like, the more
drama.
Traditional vampires, like, didn't want to recognize the new types of vampires.
Oh.
And, yeah. And it was
we
like
got
this
some
whole
drama
thing.
In the vampire community.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but one thing that all of them like agree is very important in any feeding style
is it consent?
It is consent.
Yes!
Yay! You got it.
I was just about to say, that's pretty.
It's pretty important.
Pretty important. Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, sanguine vampires, they'll have, like, one person, like, one partner that consents to them drinking from, or them to be drank from, I guess.
Yeah, I think that was on the little, like, documentary thing I watched on YouTube, and, like, his partner was like, yeah, I consent to this. I'm like, well, everybody's consenting, so no problem.
Exactly. So literally, as long as people are consenting, which it seems like they are, they're like, pretty much everything that I read said that consent and safety is like of the utmost importance.
Right. Like, I remember on the documentary thing I was watching, like, if people were consenting to it, like, they had to get like testing done.
They had to get tested
to show that
to
they have
regularly.
Like no bloodborne illnesses, or that, you know, that they're healthy and that they can do this safely.
Yeah. So, you know, especially for example, like from the blood drinkers and the ones that derive energy from sex, like they are very careful about testing regularly for any type of disease or illness to make sure that they can do this in a safe way.
Good for
which
them.
I thought was really cool.
That's really, yes.
Yeah.
I like
and
that.
And another cool thing that, I mean, these vampires, like, literally, like, people do, you know, people identify it like they want to identify, do what they want to do. And honestly, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, as long as everybody's consenting and we're all consenting
and
adults and we're fine with it.
They're also, like, really involved in their community. NOVA, the New Orleans Vampire Association. So pretty much after the humanitarian crisis that happened in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, Czar, with his, like, newfound, like, association, started putting together, like, feeding campaigns, especially for, like, homeless people and LGBTQ plus people. So
that's
every
so
year,
nice.
Yeah, every year,
oh my gosh,
different like community campaigns to feed the masses, especially during the holidays. They put a lot of money into like housing for homeless and LGBTQ youth and other, like, pretty much just youth that has maybe, like, been kicked out of their homes for disagreeing with their family's, like, religious views, or because they're not accepted because they are LGBTQ+. So I think that that's really
cool. That's so awesome.
Yeah. Like, and so, you know, you've got, like, this kind of, like, terrible, like, history of what people thought vampires were, and there's just so many iterations of what people think vampires are. And from the interviews that I was watching and reading, they're all just like, we're literally just people trying to get by. And yeah, I was really vibing with it, and
I love that.
Yeah, it definitely brought me up from, like, the very sad place I was at trying to research that terrible case.
Yeah,
and just kind of kept it kind of light, and I feel like
there's a bunch of, like, vampire social justice warriors.
I love that for them. So yeah, that's my little quick dive into the history of vampires in New Orleans.
I love that's so nice.
Yeah, it definitely took a different turn than I thought it was going to be, because, like, based on the TikTok that my friend
sent me. Because I think you sent that to me too.
I did, yeah. Like, it seemed like it was going to be, like, real spooky and ominous, but it like ended on such a light note.
Yeah,
like on such a positive note, and I was like, yeah, that's fucking cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I have for y'all today.
I love it.
And for our ABCs of crime.
Oh yes, our ABCs of crime.
So this week's episode is brought to you by the letter W, or
What We Do in the Shadows.
Yes, watch it. Yes.
That's it. That's all one. You need to know. Werewolves, not swearwolves.
Exactly.
And creepy paper, Guillermo. Creepy paper.
And if that didn't tempt you, I don't know what will.
I have a fantastic vampire accent. Therefore, you'll love the show.
I think you should promote our social medias in your wonderful vampire accent before we sign off.
Oh, God. Okay.
Not to put you on the spot.
Not to put you on the spot or anything.
Not to put you on the spot or anything, but you put it out there into the universe.
I did. I have to own it now.
You have to own it. Be the girl boss of your dreams, Catherine. Don't let yourself hold you back.
That's so deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Girl boss.
I'm waiting.
Okay. I'm waiting. You're doing it. Okay. Okay. I could do this. I could do this.
I can do it.
I'm going to be bright red, but I can do it.
They don't know that.
They don't know that.
They don't know that you're a casket girl. Red it in blister without even having to go in the sun.
Very true. So my professor was talking about, like, doing intake interviews and forensic interviews, and you have to be, like, very cool and collected. And mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to walk in every time looking like Steve Jobs, because I'm going to have a high-ass turtleneck so you don't see my neck breaking out. I'm going to have full heavy coverage foundation so you don't see me red underneath. And I'm just going to have this, like, ring of foundation on my turtleneck. It's just going to be a mess.
But you're gonna be doing the world good.
Yes.
In your Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs looking bad bitch.
You're gonna be a bad bitch. It is what it is. You're gonna walk in there like you own the place.
Okay, I have to do the vampire voice.
All right,
now.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
If you want to follow our social media. You can give us a follow at ms.murder_podcast on Instagram.
Ooh.
Where you can see all... where you can...
Come on, Catherine. You can do it.
Where you can see all of our photos associated with the crimes we talk about. I did Bela Lugosi justice.
Wow.
Wow. Oh my gosh. FX, if you're listening, I would love a Catherine. Guest starring role yes. as a familiar. I would 100% familiar. Be a familiar. I would not be a vampire. I would 100% be a familiar.
You and Guillermo would be best friends.
We would be best. I would love to be best friends with Guillermo. Badass. Love him. Little badass adorable baby. Guillermo. Yeah. Love him.
I was almost going to give a whole spoiler and I had to stop myself.
Oh.
Because I realized, I'm like, wait, you don't find that out until much later.
Yes. So. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. I was really gonna screw it up there, but I didn't.
Thank you for looking out for the people. So,
yeah. I hope you guys enjoyed this nice little not really true crime related, but kind of a spooky.
I mean, it was true crime in the sense that there was a little serial killer action the year that's my very grandma true. Was born.
That's very true. So hope you enjoyed it. Stay tuned next
yes.
week. Good night, friend.
You have to do it in the accent.
Oh, I don't know how to do a vampire accent.
Good night,
friends. I just totally stereotype vampires.
I did too. I apologize to the Vampire Association of New Orleans.
I'm so sorry.
You're great people / vampires.
We love you.
Kisses.
Kisses. Bye.